Hi everyone, Data Stories number 18. And hey Moritz. And believe it or not, we have been doing this this thing for 1 year now.
1 year, amazing.
Amazing. So exactly 1 year ago, we published our first episode.
Who knew 1 year could feel so long?
Yeah. I cannot believe it. I mean, it's so fast.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, but you know, a lot happened in between as well. So
yeah.
It's both fast and slow.
Yeah.
You know, 18 episodes. So we didn't quite live up to the 2 weeks rhythm.
Yeah, but
you know, we need to take vacations too, right?
We are almost there. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think it's
And some
fun.
Of them were really long. So
let me see. We published 2 in February, 2 in March, 1 in April. April and May was lazy. 1 in June. No, 2 in June. 1 in July, 1 in August.
You can Nothing see in May? Did we like skip May or what?
No, 1 in May, 2 in June, 2 in June, 1 in July, 1 in August. Some, you can see the summer effect. Yeah, but I mean, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
You know, the 3 weeks worked out fine, I think. I mean, 2 weeks is a bit tough on everybody. I mean, who can stand to listen to us every 2 weeks? I mean,
yeah, that would be boring.
That's the other thing. We have to think of our listeners as well.
Yeah. And that's the first time after a long time that it's me and you and it's only audio.
Yeah, probably like for a year. So,
maybe.
No, I think we started out like that and then we just had so many guests. I mean, that was great too, but it's also nice to do a one-on-one episode again.
I believe that our first episode has the best title ever. I think you came up with this title.
Let me see. Exuberant Animated Data Kitsch. Yeah, we should have called the whole podcast like that. I think we had the idea too late.
Yeah. So, we should keep inventing titles like this. That's
true. Okay.
That's fun.
That might be a good plan for the next year. Yeah, to have more funnier titles.
Yeah.
I'll
compare,
take a note. Yeah.
Compare this with Immortal. With Stefan and Studio Nand.
Yeah, but you know, the second one was already also quite descriptive. It was called Visualization Contests, Marathons, Challenges, Awards, etc. I mean, it's not that inventive.
So
our highlight was the first episode. After that, things went clearly downhill.
Well, you can actually see this from the stats as well.
Yeah, that's true. No, actually, our most popular episode was episode number 5 with Andy Kirk.
Andy Kirk. Andy. Yeah. Wow.
Andy. Hi, Andy. Thanks for thanks for sending some of your glamour over here for at least one episode. It was two, actually.
But we actually had Andy more than once.
Yeah, so had
But
a,
we had the
had
peak only
practice.
Once. So we have to check whether it depends on Andy on whether it depends on... Maybe it depends on what we discussed there.
Oh.
So it's not the Andy effect.
Yeah, so you mean it's not a scientific experiment we did?
Yeah.
It's true.
So anyway, in case it's not clear, what we are going to do in this episode is basically going through the list of past episodes and comment on them. It's going to be a kind of carousel. We didn't come up with any better idea than this for the Data Stories birthday.
Or for Valentine's Day.
I think it's really nice. So I never realized that actually we started on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's so funny. I mean, didn't we have better things to do, honestly?
Yeah.
No, but I think we didn't record the first episode on Valentine's Day, but we published it there to our defense. But now today we're sitting there. Yeah.
That's possible.
Maybe we should take care of our wives.
Yeah.
Rather than record podcasts.
Yeah. Anyway, okay.
What can you do?
Let's start with episode 1. What did we talk about in episode 1? I don't even remember.
I think we talked about all these, you know, I was ranting a bit about these particle-based animations of world maps and things flying around and trails, glow effects, this type of thing.
Yeah, I think that's still totally unsolved, right?
I think it was sort of a fashion that that went away in a way. I have the feeling. So I wouldn't rant the same way now.
Yeah, but you know, I'm still totally fascinated by animation. I think it's an aspect of visualization that is not understood well enough yet.
Yeah,
I mean, animation fascinates me a lot, and I think we have to investigate much closer what we can do well with animation, because I'm convinced that there are things we can do really well with animation.
Sure, I mean, it's been done, and I think, I mean, what also turned out over the years that these short animated explanatory clips can work quite well. So the New York Times did quite a few of these. And my sense is also that, you know, with increased mobile use and like in between use of visualization, that these short animations, they can be quite effective. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't ranting so much about these sort of narrative things, but more the ones where you have a development over time and then you just have a lot of particles moving. And
you're
really fascinated while you watch it, and afterwards it's all gone, you know? It's like, I said that recently about that Twitter visualization, you know, the tweet ping thing. So you watch and it's like crazy, and you think you're consuming so much of interesting stuff, and then you close the browser tab and nothing's left, you know? It's like, it evaporates basically. And I think that's still true to some degree.
I totally agree.
Anyways, number two, we were ranting about, or you were ranting about, marathons and challenges and awards.
It's fun because looking back, that was a bit exaggerated.
At the time, there were quite a few crappy awards, or also dubious ones, you know, that had dubious terms of conditions.
Yeah, until when you decided to participate to some of those, right?
Yeah, afterwards things somehow got a bit better. And we had the Equilibrium, which you really upset you. I mean, your pulse always went up like 20 points when you were talking about that.
Maybe that was a bit too harsh, I don't know.
Yeah. And then this robbery, you know, that spotlight of profitability didn't win.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I still think that was a fantastic piece of visualization. Yeah.
And you know what? Christina, she won more prizes. I think she won a couple of challenges in the meantime. Uh-huh. At least the OECD one with a piece that I didn't understand, but which looked good, really. But I didn't get it quite fully, honestly. And another second place. And actually, I've been working with her in the meantime. So.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. So I did a little project right before Christmas with her for World Economic Forum, and we might do another one.
So is there anything public yet?
Yeah, we could link to it. I mean, it's not spectacular. It's just solid infographics for a print report. But I can dig it out.
Good. So do you think that during this year, something changed in the way these contests and prizes are organized and given?
you're setting me up here. I can feel it.
No, I'm serious. I mean, in a way, I've seen less of them.
I mean, I was really impressed by the visualizing marathon this year. Mm-hmm. There were like really over 1,000 students worldwide taking part, and the entries were really great. I agree.
Yeah,
so that I was really impressed there, and I felt there were much less of these pointless designer something funny contests, and we can do whatever we want with it, and you get like, I don't know, some hideous prize. So I haven't seen these anymore. So I think the issue is sorted.
Good. Done.
Yeah. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished.
Congrats.
Just
Enrico.
One episode.
well done, Enrico. Well done.
It was worth it then.
Super Enrico saved the world again.
Against prizes and contests.
Okay. Number three.
Number three, how do you evaluate visualization? This looks academic to me. Maybe I was proposing this one.
Yeah, I think it was a boring episode.
That's where we have a huge valley in the trends, right? How do you evaluate?
But there were some good. Yeah. There were a few good. And now that I read the recap, there were a few good points there, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And we've been organizing our workshop this week last year, the Believe workshop that is about evaluation visualization, and we organize this every 2 years. And it was quite successful again. So this is cool. Such a nice never-ending topic. You can always add something new there. So, yeah. And I think it's important.
But do you feel, is there progress in that area? Like, do people use different methods now, or do people look at different things in the evaluations?
I think it's a big topic. I think we've been, at least from the academic point of view, we have improved a lot. I mean, now we are in the situation where for certain kind of contributions, if you don't have a proper evaluation, it's very hard for someone to get accepted. So, So I think that's already some kind of progress. What I haven't seen lately is more innovation in the way visualization is evaluated. I would like to see more innovation. So basically, the most solid stuff is still running a controlled experiment. Which is fine, but I think we should try to do something else. By the way, have you seen this highly criticized evaluation doing brain scan?
No, I missed to read that. I had it in my list and totally forgot to read it. What was it about?
So long story short, my friend Remco Chang from Tufts University, he ran this very nice experiment comparing the infamous bar chart versus pie chart. And they pretended to evaluate this by using a special brain scan technique. I don't remember exactly the name of this technique, but basically, I think it's based...
fMRI, probably, huh?
Yeah, exactly, something like that. And they claim that this technique is able to measure the workload, the human workload when they are performing some tasks. And one of the findings is that basically, in terms of workload, there's no difference between bar chart and pie charts. But even more interesting than that is the fact, I think that's the most interesting thing, is that people behave differently. So some people have a higher workload with pie charts, and some other people have a higher workload with what did I say? I don't remember. The other one, okay?
Yeah.
But this was heavily,
you know what?
Heavily
that doesn't
criticized.
Sound like a really conclusive experience.
It's not conclusive. Yeah, I think that... So I didn't read the paper yet, and I didn't fully read the criticism from Stephen Few. But my feeling is that what is... So the main focus of this research is more trying to see whether it's feasible to evaluate visualization through this method.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, rather than saying anything conclusive on pie chart versus bar charts, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's interesting.
The problem is with such a result, it could also mean they're measuring the wrong thing, or they're measuring nothing at all. You know, it's very hard to pinpoint
that. Absolutely, absolutely. But I've been briefly talking with Remco a few days ago, and what he told me is that basically one of his co-authors is really a leader in this field. He's a guy who's been studying brain.
Tufts is very well known in the cognitive science area, they're really top notch, I'm pretty sure they know what they're doing.
So basically, this is what I'm saying about evaluation. I would like to see many more of this kind of studies where people really try to do innovative stuff.
Measure the pulse of Stephen Few when he sees a circle.
Yeah, I mean...
adrenaline levels.
I mean, honestly, I think he's super smart, but the way he writes these kind of rants, I still have some problems with it. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. He's just rude. I mean, sorry. But I really liked his slow data article. I was...
Sure. Me too.
That was really good. So I don't think he's a smart guy. He's just being rude.
Yeah.
He likes to provoke, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense.
Anyways, we're diverging here. How do you say that? No, how do you say
diverting.
That?
Diverting.
Diverting, yeah.
But diverging, diverging as well.
Episode four.
Four. I think that was really successful.
Malofier, yeah, that was fun.
Malofier.
I mean, we were so, you know, Andy and I, we were just coming back from Malofier. We were totally, still totally under the influence of that crazy event. And
yeah.
And it was a lot of, I mean, we went through all of the people. I mean, that was a lot of material, basically, yeah.
I think Malofier was one of the biggest events in 2012, right?
Yeah, for me, it was really important. And for, I mean, I think for all who were involved with it, it was like Andy and Andrew and so on. It was really a big eye-opener. Also, Robert. I think also for Robert, it changed his view on the whole infographic scene quite a bit as well. And yeah it was fantastic.
Yeah. And I think it's the first time that people from, I don't know, kind of like data journalism, infographics, meet with people that come more from the InfoViz side, right?
Yeah. I mean, or at least, it's been more of that. I think they started to do that. Yeah, but you're right. I mean, also Alberto, I think there was much Alberto Cairo's mm-hmm. initiative. And I think he said that was really also, the years before it wasn't like that, and that he wanted to bridge these worlds a bit. And I think he was quite successful if you think like how it played out later, you know, like how the year played out. I think there were stronger bonds than between these scenes. So
do you think they're gonna organize the same thing this year?
Yeah, it's every year. I mean, it was called Malofier 20 because it was the 20th edition, basically.
No, so. But I mean, do you think we are going to have, again, this nice mix of people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I know who's going. So there's Jan-Willem Tulp.
Oh, great.
There is Fernanda Viegas. Mm-hmm. There is Stephanie Posavec.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they continue to... To invite the good people.
The tradition.
No, I love that. It's great.
Okay. Lots of these people is in our guest list, right?
Exactly. So, you heard it here first.
What else? What did we do then?
Another one with Andy.
Another one with Andy. Oh, shame on us.
And that's the most, as we said, the most successful one. How to Learn Data Visualization with Andy Kirk.
Okay.
That was really good. I mean, he told us a lot about how he does his courses and, you know, what he thinks is most important. I think a lot of that stuff is really still valid.
Yeah. You know, from my point of view, this is still one of the biggest challenges we have in our field.
Yeah.
Because we've been focusing on, so from our side, the academic side, we've been focusing on doing research, right? Practitioners have been focusing on doing their stuff, right? On producing stuff. And very, very few people focused on the problem of teaching other people how to do visualization correctly. And at the same time, I think that's one of the biggest needs we have right now. And for the first time, we have very nice sources, very nice books, very nice people willing to teach. I mean, that's another big trend this year from my point of view. So we have Andy has been teaching all around the world. We have Alberto Cairo who's been teaching through his what's the name of his course? I don't remember.
He does an online
large scale.
MOOC.
MOOC. And what else? I think
Katie Berner
is doing the same thing now.
Yeah.
And that's big. I think that's big.
Yeah. Everybody wants to learn it. I think we should stop that teaching thing. I think it's going to be too many people.
Yeah.
It's getting too crowded on that beach here. Stop doing that.
I agree. And now I'm teaching, which is...
I'm teaching too. I just had yesterday my first lecture in a new course, so I should shut up. but it's fun. Teaching is just, it's a very rewarding thing. You know, I always say I'm a bad teacher, and I am actually. I know that. But but still I enjoy it. It's a bit like guitar playing for me.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at it too, but I like, sort of like it.
Yeah. And look, for my course, as I was saying, I was telling to you before starting the episode, in my course, I'm using the draft of Tamara Manzner's book. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's, wow. So this book is, it's the book I've always dreamed of. I mean, it's kind of like a perfect summary of visualization design. And it's the kind of book that we have quite a good number of visualization related books in our bookshelves, but I never had a book like this before. One book that is totally focused on the design techniques and principles of information visualization, and the fact that she's breaking down the problems in very nice, very well organized set of tools and problems. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, she's super precise and super clear. Simply, I enjoy that about her.
Yeah,
she has a clear head.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when this book is going to be published, but I think for me that's going to be a big event, because this book is different from every other book I've seen so far.
Yeah. Sounds good. There's a draft online, so we can link to
There's a draft online, yeah.
We should definitely.
Yeah. Okay, episode 6.
Episode 6.
On food.
Food, yeah.
How could we call an episode on food?
That was a fun one. I remember I was pretty hungover, or was I ill or so? But I was in Manchester when we recorded it, and I was just sitting in my apartment bed. I sort of remember that.
Yeah.
And that was a nice one.
That was a nice one.
In fact, you know, I talked about the data cuisine idea in this episode, and in September we made it happen. So
yeah. And visualizing food is cool. We should actually keep doing this thing and maybe doing on something else, right?
I like that. Yeah, yeah. Just to talk about specific topics, you know, outside of visualization, but, you know, from visualization angle. I really like that. Yeah. But So maybe we shouldn't have so many data whiz guys on the show, but maybe experts from other areas. Could be interesting.
Could be interesting.
I have a philosopher, biologist.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, there's a lot of whiz in biology. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Did you ever participate to any of these conferences? I did. And it's crazy because you have, all in a sudden, you realize that there are thousands and thousands of biologists who do visualization by themselves. And they are pretty advanced, some of them. Anyway, episode 7, Color with Gregor Eich. That was a great one. That was a great one. I mean, I learned something during that episode. And Gregor has
Like information density-wise, that's the most informative one we've ever done, I think.
Yeah, and I still think that if you want to learn visualization, you should listen to this episode. It's part of it, right?
Yeah.
You get so much information about how to use color properly and all the nuances of using color properly that it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Episode 8, the first interview, I think. The first real interview.
In a sense, yes. In a sense. True. I mean, with Andy and Gregor, it's been more like a, I don't know. Yeah. Like a conversation. And with Jeff, it was much more like, okay, we have Jeff on the show. What do we ask him? So, yeah, that's true.
I think we have a little peak here in our.
Yeah. That was a very popular one as well.
That was a very popular one, of course. And I've heard, so after we published this episode, I've heard from many people listening to what Jeff had to say was great, was just great.
Yeah.
So, He's really a great guy.
Yeah, I really like that. He's so eloquent and such a nice guy, and he knows so much. Eh? He's really great.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how Trifecta is doing, his company.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Probably great. I mean,
yeah,
I would be surprised if the opposite.
But we haven't seen a project or anything. Probably they're either just, you know, building up stuff and getting started, or they do a lot of internal stuff, or they are so busy that they don't even have time to update their portfolio, which would be great. Who knows? Well, I'm sure we'll hear something from them.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Then we had what? Episode 9, Bridging Academia and Industry with Daniel Fisher from Microsoft. So here we've been discussing how to bridge academia and industry. That's still hard, I think. That's still hard. We had a few interesting people from the practitioner side at BizWeek this year. So I think we moved some little baby steps, but there is still a lot to do here.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, let's see how it plays out next time. Is next time, is the Viz conference, is it in Paris already? Or
so
is
the Viz conference will be in Paris in 2014.
In 14. And this year it's still in Seattle, or where is it?
No, this year is in Atlanta.
Atlanta, okay.
Yeah.
That's at least closer.
Yeah. Episode 10. We had Stephanie Posawek.
Stephanie, yeah. That was a good one, too. She's fantastic. I mean, Stephanie. You gotta love Stephanie.
Everybody loves Stephanie.
Right.
I'm still waiting for a poster from her to put in my office room.
Yeah, somehow nothing happens, huh?
I should actually send her the recording of our episode. And with a title kind of like still waiting.
Just that sound snippet where she promises that. Yeah. But she gave me some consulting today on a poster project I'm doing myself. So I won't complain because I really appreciated her advice on that. So I won't complain. Yeah.
And this handcrafted data thing pairs up very well with the thing you said before about slow data initiative. I think that's going to be another interesting thing this year.
Yeah. No, and I see much more and more people like doing really interesting things in this direction.
Yeah. Then we had the most terrible episode, Data Stories number 11 on email.
What was that? Don't insult my friends here, please.
Why did we do that? On Imoto, your project together with Stefan from Studio Nand. That was a cool one.
Yeah.
I actually showed a couple of screenshots in my class during one of my last lectures. And that's cool. That's a cool project.
Nice. Yeah, I still like it too.
Yeah. Then we did what, Moritz?
Alberto, episode 12.
Alberto. That was cool.
That was a good one, yeah.
Alberto.
He's also very eloquent, I think. You know, he's simply good to talk to.
And energetic. He's energetic. And the functional art is another one of the big things that happened last year. I mean, it's a great book.
Highlight for me too, yeah.
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 Great.
Yeah, I saw his talk at Malufje and I wasn't fully sold. I was like, okay, he knows, you know, he knows what he's talking about, but I wasn't like fully sold. But then I read the book and I really appreciate his perspective now. Like,
yeah,
the very information graphics, news design heavy perspective, and this stressing the points you make and the story and so on. So he does that really nicely, and he illustrates nicely what you can do to achieve that. So
yeah.
Do
you know anything about this course? Whether I think he had a huge amount of students, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I received a guest access from him. Uh-huh. Thanks, Alberto. And because they were discussing one of my graphics, and so I was getting curious, and so he sent me the guest account. And it's crazy. It's like hundreds of students, you know, they're in the forums and they're all like having opinions and writing stuff and creating graphics. And it's like a huge, it's like a beehive, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's like, I think he has thousands of students and it's crazy.
It's crazy. And do you know if
it's really interesting? And for instance, so they had the task to critique one out of five visualizations or so.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're writing really long detailed critiques and responses to each other. And there's a lot going on. I was really impressed. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Do you know if the course is organized around the content of the book or is more...
I haven't really checked. I just looked in the forums, but I should definitely also check the syllabus and what he put up in materials. I haven't really.
Okay.
But I guess it will be, you know, roughly the book story. Sure, of course, yeah, I of mean, course. It would make sense at least.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we did what? Oh, an episode from this week, totally improvised. That was me together with Jérôme Couquier and Andrew Van de Moere.
Yeah.
And I think we've been talking about what happened, the highlights of this week 2012. And apart from the highlights, I think for me that was a big achievement because I never managed to record or write anything on my blog during a conference. So the mere fact that I managed to record an episode there for me is a big achievement.
It's a big win.
It's a big, big win. No, I don't know.
It was nice. I think we should do that more often because it's like when you're recording directly from the place where something happens, it's a different vibe simply. So
yeah, exactly. Because when you come back, you already lose a lot of the energy that, so it's completely different.
Yeah.
So I hope this was a good episode.
It was fun for me because it was the first time I could listen to it and not know, you know, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I was for once a Data Stories listener, which was fun. So
yeah, we should actually do the opposite sometime.
Yeah,
I would love to listen to Data Stories and.
I can record a few secret episodes without you.
You could. And then I think we had this crazy idea of using Hangout, Google Hangout.
Terrible idea.
So we
whose idea was that?
Who knows? And but I mean, we are here to experiment as well, right? So we've been experimenting with this tool, and the first time wasn't that great, I think. But
I think the conversation was really nice.
The conversation was really nice, but technically speaking, we had so many troubles that we couldn't even record the video. And
we did, but we're just like recording one guy.
So we had Benjamin Widerker all the time in the video. So. I'm sure that Benjamin, if he's listening to this episode, is gonna laugh.
I might or might not have still a copy of that on my hard drive, just
Yeah, we still have it. So Benjamin, that was great. Yeah, but the Hangout itself was cool because we basically asked people to join and we didn't know until the end who was going to join. So I think that was a fantastic experiment. And we had nice people joining. I mean, that was cool.
Yeah,
that
was really cool. Was nice.
We should actually repeat that sometime in the future. Let's see. Yeah. So if you're listening to the episode, let us know. Let us know if you want to do another Data Stories Hangout. We promise that this time is going to be okay with the video. I think we learned how to use it now.
We didn't learn, but accidentally it seemed to have worked the next few times. But I mean, we are still not quite sure what actually went wrong. Somewhat related to the cameraman app. So yeah, don't touch the cameraman.
Don't touch the cameraman. Yeah, no, that's the rule. Don't touch.
Just don't click around.
Then we had Robert Kozara.
Yeah, that was a good one too.
I think that was a good one too. I really like.
We had only good episodes.
So you can distinguish only between fantastic and awesome, right?
Yeah. Large, very large, and super large.
Robert was a great guest, and I think Robert is doing great stuff right now.
Yeah, I'd like to have him back and talk about narratives and stories.
Absolutely, we should do
that.
We
only touched on that, and I think we should do that. Maybe around the Tapestry conference. Will you be there?
I will be there.
Maybe you should record something with him there or other people.
I cannot promise anything, but let's see.
You have to.
Yeah, let's see. But definitely, we have to invite Robert again and do an episode more focused on narrative and storytelling and this kind of stuff. But I think Robert is a very interesting person, and he has this interesting profile. He's been academia for a long time, and now he moved to Tableau, and then he's been focusing more on the on traditional infoviz, and now he's moving back. Not back. He's actually moving to storytelling, narratives, and this kind of stuff. And he has a very nice blog, so he's really a nice person.
Although I was, as I said on the episode, a bit afraid of him before I met him, because he also has this strong internet personality.
Oh yeah. We discussed about that.
A bit like Stephen Few, yeah. But he's become milder over the years.
But I think he's nicer in person.
But totally, he's super sweet. So
I've actually heard that Stephen Few is much nicer in person. I actually never met him.
We should have him on the show.
We should have him on the show sometime.
We should have Eddie. Yeah. We should have Stephen Few.
Yeah.
Just to check them out.
Next year. Then what?
Then we had number 16. That was a review of the last year. I think that was a very successful one too. Mm-hmm. With Andy, Brian Connor, Andrew, Van der Meure.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. A reflection on what was big in 2012. Yeah. I no longer remember what we said there, but there must be something interesting.
Same old thing, stories, narratives.
Yeah.
D3, New York Times. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And then we have the last one. This is one of my favorites, I have to say. Data sculptures. And by the way, during the last couple of ones, we've been using the Hangout successfully, right? So that was good.
Yeah. So the last two ones were, I think so. But you know what? I was listening to the audio, you know, because I do the chapters and so on. And it sort of hurts the audio because people...
Absolutely.
You know, A, it's the quality, and B, it's also people are sort of... They're much more concerned with what happens on screen. And you know what happens to people when they're like looking at a computer and clicking around? They have these gaps in the middle of a sentence and, you know,
That's weird. Yeah. I don't know how to solve that. But at the same time, it's true that the Hangout in some cases provides much more... many more details and
for this episode it was perfect.
Yeah,
and also a conversation like with four people or five you cannot do with audio only. I mean, everybody knows these telephone conferences that are really a pain, you know. That's like, because if you don't have any cues on who's gonna talk next or, you know, who's like able to talk right now,
But anyway, what I was saying is that I really love data sculptures. It's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they gave these nice demos with this 3D stuff. That was total fun for me. I mean, yeah. I was actually thinking going back to YouTube and give it a look, because I was thinking about asking to these guys to send me if I can have one copy of these nice toys. I would love to have them.
The bar charts?
Yeah, the bar charts or one of the other ones.
Maybe they should make a limited edition too.
Yeah, limited edition too. Yeah, like
the original bar chart from the study.
Yeah.
I think you should design your own little thing and have it printed. There's loads of opportunities in New York.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking about. There are so many opportunities here, and I already checked, and there are so many labs where I can go and
exactly.
Yeah, I would like to do that.
Do it yourself, DIY.
That's
the spirit. Yeah. Cool. So, what do we do this year?
I don't know. I mean, we should ask. So what do you guys think we should do? If you have any ideas, send us an email or a tweet or a comment or whatever, or call us.
That's a good idea. Yeah, please. Yeah.
We should give our numbers.
No.
What do we do? I don't know. Moritz, what do you think? What should we do? Should we just keep doing our shit or what?
I think it's good if the two of us have in between always a little episode, because I like that, just to talk to you. I think that's great.
Yeah.
But generally I'd like to have the guests and keep on with the interviews, because I mean, for me, that's always been the most interesting part, to have like all these interesting people on the show. And I can think of maybe 10, 20 people I'd like to talk to. So
yeah, we probably have a list that can fill up another 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah.
If, yeah, at the same pace.
If the people want to.
Yeah, if the people want to. Yeah. But we should try to target some people that, some big names or stuff like that. I mean,
sure.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
We'll definitely do that.
And I think we should keep, I would like to keep experimenting with the Google Hangout.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me whether people like it or not. So
I also asked on Facebook, and the response was really mixed. So some people say, yeah, switch over to video completely. Others say, ditch the video, stick with audio. Others say, make it like this, like that, you know, mix it a little. So it's, the people are as undecided as we are. And so I guess let's just mix it up a little. Yeah. So I like both. Yeah.
If you guys have any opinion, let us know. I mean, if you think that using the Google Hangout is total crap, let us know. Or if you are super excited, let us know as well. I think
we don't really know how you listen to it. I mean, I've heard from many people that they listen to it in the car, and I think that makes sense, you know? Like, so if I was driving a lot, I would definitely listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
Personally, I listen to podcasts when I do like housework, basically dishes or, you know, washing or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems.
And often in the evening as well, like, you know, just to relax a little. Yeah. But I don't know how other people listen to podcasts or watch them, you know?
And I think another thing, again, if you guys have in mind any name that you would like to us to invite in the podcast, or you want to invite yourself for any reason, let us know. I mean, we have a full new year to fill up. Yeah, and I think we should keep the pace was okay, kind of okay. I mean, for me, it's a big achievement that we made it. I mean, doing 18 episodes in 1 year and keep doing them, sometime a little later, sometime a little sooner, it's great. I mean, it's great.
I'm happy with that too. So, I mean, we set out to do every 2 weeks, but as I said, now it's been maybe every 3. I think that's totally fine.
Yeah, I have to say that I totally neglected as a consequence my blog.
I mean, basically, you haven't written anything on the blog since we started.
Yeah,
right?
In a way, it looks like kind of I switched from the blog to data stories, but that's not true. Huh? I never planned for that. It's just happened.
Yeah, and I think data stories is different from what you did on your blog.
And I mean, honestly, doing data stories is so much easier. In a way, it's so much more fun. It's much more fun. But that doesn't mean that I don't like blogging. So let's see. Let's see what is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's a different quality also to a good written text. So, yeah.
Okay. I think we don't have anything else to say. Just happy birthday. I can sing happy birthday in German, in Italian, in English, and French. I can try.
Yeah, you can do all of that.
So happy birthday to you. And then I can do... Can you do the French one? I can do the... Can you do the Italian one? I can do the German one.
In German, you say zum Geburtstag,
viel Glück. Zum Geburtstag, viel Glück. You know the Italian? Liebe data stories. In Italian is tanti auguri a te.
Tanti auguri, yeah.
And in French is, just to keep the Euro Voices tradition, right? Yeah.
Something with like bon anniversaire or something, but match the song.
Joyeux anniversaire. Joyeux. Yeah, cool.
Nice.
I think that's
good
all
stuff.
For today. Good
Congratulations,
stuff.
Enrico.
Congratulations, Moritz.
Do you have a cake? Do you have a cake?
I don't have a cake, but maybe I should say that. I mean, it's been great doing this thing with you. And
yeah, absolutely, Enrico.
I loved it. So let's see what happens in the next year.
Looking forward to. So here's to another 18 at least. Yeah,
that should be good. Oh, yeah,
we're doing at least 18 this year, okay?
Yeah, that's a benchmark. We have a benchmark. We have to do, that's a promise, right?
Yeah.
Promise for next year, at least another 18, another 18 episodes. Okay, awesome. I think that's all for today.
Cool.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Take care.
Talk soon.
Bye.
And
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.